Psalm 27 has been a place where I've been dwelling for some time. And that's where I want to turn you to. Psalm 27. If you have your Bibles, please do that. I'm going to read to you the whole psalm. We shall then follow this preaching by singing this psalm together. Let me read it to you, friends, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though when an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Friends, this is God's word. Amen. I would be confident in assuming that to those of you who are Bible readers, that is a most familiar psalm. It's headed in my Bible, an exuberant declaration of faith, a psalm of David. We as preachers sometimes look to commentators. And in regard to this psalm, they have agreed that it cannot be certain when and to what circumstances or the particular event to which this psalm was the backdrop to. But what it can be said with great confidence that this psalm is written in a time of distress, a time when David had been in battle with his enemies. We could be confident just to suggest a few things. Maybe amid the constant persecutions from Saul. Maybe it could relate to the time that David had to flee from Absalom in 2 Samuel 16. It could be the occasion when Abishai came to David's aid when in danger by being killed by a giant in 2 Samuel 21. These are possibilities. But whatever the case be, saints, what we see in this psalm most clearly is a man whose name is David, who has a confidence in his God. in this psalm, David sounds forth his confidence in the God of Israel. The psalm opens up, doesn't it, with David declaring this as his Lord. His Lord is the God of his salvation. No doubt we can connect this to the deliverances of such battles. Once again, the Lord has promised and preserved this man's life from Saul or any other form of attack that he is under. Maybe that of Absalom. Who knows? But friends, as we consider this opening session this morning, or rather this afternoon, is that this is a man who is confident in his God. We know well that this man David is a man of great conviction. A man who has known the work of God's right arm in salvation. No doubt he would sing with Mary, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in my God, in my salvation." So friends, it is in this conviction, it is in this reality that David goes on to express a great confidence in his God throughout this whole psalm. Something simple must be said here. No man, no woman can have a confidence in God without first knowing that God is the God of his salvation. It is in that very thing, that the pinnacle of things, that gives this man David confidence. David's declaration here is not an intellectual assent, but rather it is an expression of something experienced, something known. You see, David's declaration here in this verse, first verse of this psalm, throughout many of the psalms, is one of experience. I say it again, I say it because I want you to hear it. It's known. It's not known about. God has revealed himself to this man David in salvation. It's known by experience that God is the one who grants and has granted salvation. Maybe you can hear David swapping notes with the Apostle Paul, crying out, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." We cannot but mention that most famous Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Let me ask you, do you see the personal sense of all of this? Do you see this afternoon the very personal sense of this man David making an exuberant declaration of his confidence in God? Do you see, as I've already stated, that David knows by experience, whether that be in the battlefield or the very preservation and the salvation of his soul, that the God of Israel is his salvation? This psalm boldly gives David, he puts David there, doesn't it, and says, "This is what God has done for me. This is what the God of Israel has done for me. He is the Lord of my salvation." David is assured by this, and he declares it boldly. He goes on to say, "He is my light." This is the very theme of the psalm. David declares that God is light. Let's not overcomplicate this, but let us not miss what really is the beauty of this, a confidence that David has in God, is clearly seen here. Again, you are my light and you are my salvation. David isn't trusting in horses and chariots. David's confidence, I keep repeating, is in the God of Israel. In the God who his forefathers led out of Egypt in times gone past. David's confidence is in a covenant-keeping God. He says, "You are my light." See, David knew, didn't he, that the God who would lead, or who led his people out of captivity in Egypt, is the one who would lead him, the one who would always be with him, the one who has saved him. It doesn't say a light, does it? Or light like the sun, or as bright as the stars. Who are we to dare compare God, the light of the world, to anything? He is the light. My light. You see that? He is my light. Personal experience. This is the one who leads me. In this straight path, he is the one, David is saying, isn't he, who deals with all darkness. He is the great teacher. He is the light in the valley of the shadow of death. As David confidently declares God as his light, he is saying, my God brings clarity. My God brings order. My God brings understanding. A very present time. Help in the time of need. This is my God, says David. In him there is no darkness. Friends, have you meditated upon that for a moment? That he is without sin. That he is the pure and the lovely one. That he is holier than you and I could ever try to proclaim. He is the light of the world. We get so used to this kind of phraseology that maybe at times we miss the beauty of it all. He is the light. He is the one who sets forth truth. Indeed, he is the truth. Be assured, beloved, that he is the one who deals with all evil and all chaos. This man, David. He's a confident man. He's a confident man because he has the God of salvation. Surely this is the very reason David go on to sing this. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war may rise against me. In this saint, in this I will be confident. You see, this is the substance of the man. This is not just some hairy, fairy hope. There's a sense of certainty here. In this very thing, I will be confident. Similar words we hear in Psalm 3. I lay down and I slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I'll not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. I say again, maybe we can hear David comparing notes with the Apostle Paul. That great crescendo at the end of Romans chapter 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all other things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is he who condemns. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Friends, you know these words, but listen. Listen to these words. This is the word of God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who has loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul goes on, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What words of assurance, dear ones. What words of great confidence, not birthed at the chest or the bosom of a man, but birthed in the certainty of God who is our salvation. What conviction and what confidence. Saints, I'm banging a drum here. This is the one thing that I long to communicate. David is clearly a man who has a clear conviction, a certain hope, a man of faith. I want us to arrive at the last two verses, but we cannot in any way ignore verse 4. It'd be nice to stop at each verse, wouldn't it? But verse 4 is one of pure beauty. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Friends, let me make a simple and straightforward comment. The man, in this case, the man David, the man whose confidence is in his God, is a man who is in communion with God. David knows that to be in the very presence of God is the best of places. It's the place he longs to be, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to be in the sanctuary, to worship is the place he longs to go. See, it's not just something that's required, it's something that's desired. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to meditate, as that opening psalm says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, to meditate on his laws day and night. This is the man. This is his joy and this is his hope. This is not some cold Christianity. This is not some carnal thought. This is a man who has been saved. This is a man who now knows who belongs to. To meditate on him. Friends, I asked the congregation this question only the past Lord's Day. When was the last time that you opened the Word of God and that you shut the door to everything and you had a pen in your hand and a pencil in your ear and you whipped through those pages meditating on the very beauty of Christ, thinking upon who He is, thinking upon what He's done, thinking upon His glory? That is a place where you and I must be. You've come here to hear men of God preach the Word of God. I beg of you, I encourage you to be men and women who shut the door, who gaze upon His beauty, who behold who He is. This is the man who says, doesn't he, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. This is David. This is his desire. A quote from a wonderful biography by Ian Murray on the life of Jonathan Edwards. There's a chapter in there, and it's called 13 Hours a Day. I'm sure some of you will be familiar with it. 13 Hours a Day. This is Jonathan Edwards. This is Ian Murray on Jonathan Edwards. From a snippet of a diary. Some are greatly affected when in company, but have nothing that bears any manner of proportion to it in secret. In close meditation, secret prayer, and conversing with God, when alone and separated from all the world, a true Christian doubtless delights in religious fellowship and religious conversation and finds much to affect his heart. But he also delights at times to retire from all mankind to converse with God. Friends, I say this as we enter this fellowship conference. I am confident you'll be blessed. I am confident that you will have sweet fellowship one with another. Maybe someone that you've never known before. Don't let it stay there. Be men and women who commune with their God. Again, I say it like this. A man like this man David, a man of confidence, is a man who communes with his God. Every verse in this psalm is something of beauty. But I want to come to some kind of end in here, as we do with the psalm in verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I suppose we could say that this psalm finishes where it started. Again, we see a confidence and hope is yet again communicated here. King James reads like this: I had fainted. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Is that striking you somewhat? Even the giant slayers are prone to faintness. David here points to his God again. If it were not for you, this is what he's saying: if it's not for you, I would be a heap on the ground. If it were not for you, the God of my life and my salvation, my enemies and my foes, they would surely triumphant over me. I would be a reproach to all without my God, says David. I would only be a bag of bones. While David's enemies pursue him, whether that be Saul or Absalom, David himself would have fainted. I like the King James here. He'd have lost heart. I believe the very hope of glory is in the eyes of the man David here. This is a man full of hope, confident that his God will be his great deliverer. While we still dwell in the land of the dead, dear ones, be assured that we shall one day be in the land of the living. We just sang it. My hope springs eternal. This is eternal hope. This is to be with Christ, which is better. to be with Christ. It is better, dear ones. Do you know that? Have you experienced the very sense of that? Oh, how carnal we are. Oh, how we fix ourselves on the temporal. To be with Christ is better. Again, we quote the Apostle Paul, if we have only hope in this life, we are to be pitied. Not this man, David. And we know the life of David, don't we? Oh, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs. In the midst of battle, when it all comes his way, the trials and the tribulation, the distress and the calamity, David's confidence is that one day soon, one day is surely coming, that he shall be with the God of his salvation in the land of the living. Oh, we have to read it again, verse 4, one thing I have desired. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Friends, that verse there, the fullness of it is in all eternity. This is eternal security. That's why you can go on and say, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It's my task to speak first. It's my task, if you like, to open this conference. I hope with God's help to set the stage, if you like, for these men who are going to come and minister to us in these hours, in this next 24 hours. And I must finish. But I must finish with this. How have you come here? In what state have you arrived to this fellowship conference? No doubt, there are many answers to that very question. Do you come to this conference looking around and seeing chaos and confusion? We see that, don't we? We see a country or a world that has agendas that ever seek to annul God and see his people shut up and hushed. We see agendas and communities on the rise. We see hatred and malice in every direction. We see war and calamity almost every day. We see children growing in a disobedience to their parents. We see sin and inventors of it celebrating and congratulating such evil. I could go on. Maybe you've come heavy in those things. Maybe you're not thinking like that at all. Maybe your concern is more local. Maybe you're going through the mill, as we say around here. Maybe your marriage is in a real difficult spot. Church situation that seems impossible. Maybe it's the fear of bringing up your children in this evil age. Maybe that's how you've arrived. Maybe it's the great burden for the church. Maybe it's your own church. We see a love for the world creeping in. People coming and going. Our baptismal pools are drier than ever. The slowness and the coldness of the flock, slow to respond, if at all, to ministry and the word that you've labored in. Maybe you've come like that. Maybe it's more personal. Maybe then it's more private. Sin, the flesh and the devil seem to be taking ground on you. And it's eating you up. Maybe it's that. Simply you're just cold and you're dry and you feel that you're in a barren and a parched land. Oh, this is reason to be faint-hearted, isn't it? Enough to lose heart. Dear beloved, would you look to the Lord today? Would you gaze upon His beauty? Would you look to Him and be of good courage? We know, don't we? With great assurance that God is our light and our salvation. Again, I say it like this, if I dare even begin to set a tone for this conference, let it be this. Flock of Christ, those of you who are heavy laden, come now. Come now and drink from this well. Be confident. Be assured in the very promises of God in Christ Jesus. In Him there ought to be nothing that we should fear. In Christ there is victory. In Him and in Him alone there is peace that is eternal. We ought to be, and we should be confident in this, that Christ shall soon crush Satan under His feet, saints. And you know what? Those who are His, I encourage you to look to that day. Look to that day. That day that we shall see Him and we shall be with Him and we shall be like Him. I want to ask you, do you believe that day is coming? Do you think on eternity and think nothing of it? Oh, beloved, there's a day when we'll see the Christ who died. We'll see the one who resurrected, who shall ascend the hill of God, He who hath clean hands and a pure heart. We shall one day be there. This life is fleeting. It is as the grass. It's a vapor. It is here today. It is gone tomorrow. If you are in Christ Jesus this afternoon, you have an eternal hope and a hope that will not put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out. Hear it. Be confident in it and rejoice in it. Are there any of you today who have come here, whose confidence is in everything but Christ? You might know the rhetoric. You might know every hymn and psalm we're going to sing. You might have been a member of a church for so many years, longer than I've been alive. But have you experienced that, what David has experienced? Have you been washed anew? Can you today shout for joy that He is the God of my salvation? Have you had your heart strangely warmed? Have you been born of the Spirit? Are you a new creation? Have the old things gone? Have the new things come? Have you had your sins washed away? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you confessed that He is Lord? Can you say with confidence, friends, to be confident, I beg of you, not to be confident in any other. Please don't be confident in our government. Don't be confident in a system. Don't be confident in your own bank account, your own flesh, in your own job. Be confident in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you come here confident in your right arm, if you come here confident in your character, if you come here confident in anything other than Jesus Christ, you are lost. And I plead with you. I plead with you this moment that you would come and be washed in the blood of the Lamb, that you might be saved, that you can be like this man David and say, oh, you can say, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Be assured, dear one, if that is you, this Christ, my Christ, God who sent Christ, he will in no way cast you away. Come and put your burdens before him. Have your sins washed away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have not a confidence in the flesh, confidence in our calling, our ministry, our position, the size of our church. We have a confident, the one who has conquered all things. O death, where is thy sting? Oh, what a Savior we have. We ask again, in these moments, be pleased, O God, to glorify your name amongst us. In the name of Jesus, amen.